I lost a lot of my hearing, and I do not hear well. And I was visiting with my grandson, and my grandson, he calls me Pops. I love that. And he looked at me, and he looked at the side of my head, and he looked at this side of my head. He said, "Pops, do you have your hearing glasses on?" Well, my hearing aids, which my grandson calls my hearing glasses, I left at home tonight. I forgot to put them on. So if you happen to say something by me and I continue walking, it's not that I'm ignoring you. It's just that I did not hear you. Okay, so it's okay to come and say, "Hey, Brother Price, Brother Price, hey, Brother Price." All right, but if I keep walking, it's because I don't have my hearing glasses in, and I may not be able to hear you. I thoroughly enjoyed this morning being with you, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here. It's a blessing to serve the Lord and to serve other people. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Mendez and Brother Mark took Trish and I to the Texas Roadhouse today for lunch. Monday of this week, I went on a keto diet. I don't know if y'all know what that is.
You don't eat meat?
Don't go on that thing. Okay, I did not know, but the keto diet, it does away with all carbs and causes your body to eat the carbs in your body. Well, the keto diet, which I did not know after we entered it, it has something known as the keto flu. And the keto flu is exactly like the flu without being the flu. You have all the same symptoms. And yesterday, both Trish and I, we had so little energy, we couldn't even get off the couch to move about. Our heads were like they were in a fog and that kind of thing. So this morning, I looked at Trish, and I said, "I don't know about you, girl, but I'm done with that keto diet." So we went to Texas Longhorn today, and I don't know if you all ever seen a dog, the saliva in his mouth as a standing for the dish. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that menu, and these, Brother Mendez, these are the thoughts that are going through my mind. This old country boy hasn't eaten in a week, and I'm going to pig out. Okay, so then I thought, wait a minute, you can't pig out because you've not really eaten real food in a week, and you don't know how your system's going to take it. So I try to follow Brother Mark Hall's suggestion. Eat good for 5 days, cheat for two. Okay. So today I ate some of that onion thingy that they had, and when it came time for the order of the steak, and I really truly wanted the steak, but I saw that southern fried catfish, and I said, "I'm going to get me some of that." I'm telling you all that to tell you this. I really enjoyed my time today. I enjoyed the meal and the fellowship and being with you all. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I was very open with you, and I told some of the difficulties that I've been going through. I ask you all to pray for our men and women who are in the military when they come home. You know, you see military homeless on the street. You don't understand why. I do. I understand why, because what they're going through in their head.
Right. Amen.
The military gave me a service dog. His name is Elvis. He's not with me tonight because I didn't know how you all would take me bringing a service dog to church.
Same.
You probably wouldn't have cared for anything in the world, but I have one. Elvis monitors my heartbeat. When my heartbeat gets above 85, boom, 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 I guess my body puts out a smell. Elvis is alerted, and he'll come and he'll jump up in my lap and said, "Hey, you're not in Afghanistan anymore. You're not in Iraq. You're okay. You're here at church. You're okay. You're at home."
Amen.
I miss old Elvis today. This morning with Brother Mendez sitting behind me, that made me, my heart do just a few things. Today there's nobody behind me, amen. But I want to tell you all this, and I'm speaking from experience. When a man comes off the battlefield, he's never the same. And you see your veterans out there, take time to shake their hand.
Amen.
If they will let you, they may not let you because they might be standoffish, not knowing where they are. Okay? They may not know. Love your veterans. They serve this country. They've seen things and they've done things that you will never see, hear, or do. They had to fight for their lives.
Amen.
And they had to take lives. And it is not a comfortable thing. I've been there. I've done that. On the same thing, PTSD, as I spoke about this morning, it's not all war related. There's people right here in America who have never seen the battlefield, never been in the military, who have been abused in all sorts of things by others that go through trouble. You would be, it's unbelievable when you look at the statistics, how many women have been abused in America. Unbelievable. And the odds are, without anybody saying anything in the room, there's women in this room right here who have been abused. And a sound, a noise, something come on TV, anything can cause those memories to come back. When I was pastoring my church and I stood and I resigned, my church family didn't want me to resign the ministry. They said, "Pastor, we love you. You're preaching God's word. We're learning so much from you. You are our pastor. We love you." And they said these things. They said, "Did not Moses and Abraham, did not they fight battles and take lives?" Amen. The answer to that question is yes, they did. Okay, stay with me because I want you all to understand. I have peace within my heart for where I've been and what I've done. I've asked God to forgive me, and He has. But those memories are still well engraved in that brain.
That's right, amen.
And they do not go away. And I stepped away from the ministry temporarily for God to build me, reshape me, so that He could use me again. And I believe with all of my heart and soul that God wants me to reach out to my military brothers and sisters, and He wants me to reach out to those civilian folks who have struggled with the difficulties of life and give them the love that they need through God's word. And I ask you all to pray with me that God would use me in that way. Amen, if you would. Pray with me that God would use me that way, because I'm not perfect. I'm nothing more than a dumb old hillbilly. But I served my country 23 years, Special Forces, and I did some things that are there. Okay? In fact, every single morning when I left to go to work, I would take my ring off and I'd put it on my wife's finger, and I'd kiss her and I'd tell her I love her. And I did not know that when I went to work, if I was coming home that day, next week, next month, 6 months, or a year down the road, my bag was packed, and many times they'd say, "Al, get on the jet, you're going." And I could not call and say, "Trish, I'm not coming home tonight." And when 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock came, if I didn't come home, she would call work. "Hey, is the chief there?" "No, I haven't seen him," because they didn't have a need to know to where I was going. And I would go and disappear for weeks at a time. And folks, I tell you, pray for our military.
Amen.
Those
Amen.
Boys and those women now Amen. Go through it. This morning I tried to be a blessing to you, to let you know that God is real. I took you to the book of Psalms and talked about King David and how King David struggled with depression and anger and frustrations to the point that the Bible does not say it, but he was so low in his life. The Bible does say this, he was getting ready to walk away from God. But he was so low in his life that the Bible hints that he may have been even thinking about taking his life. 22 military veterans take their life every single day because of what they've seen and what they've done. Tonight, I want to continue trying to encourage my military friends. If you are here and you are hurting, I want to encourage you. But my brothers and sisters in Christ within the room, whether maybe you've had a parent who abused you, I don't know. Maybe there's been difficulties there. Maybe you've had a husband or somebody or a wife that has taken advantage. I don't know. The Holy Spirit will work upon our hearts. He will point that out. But I want to encourage you in the Lord if you will allow me to. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. The book of Luke, chapter number 22. Tonight, just before we left home, God changed my message that I was going to preach from the one I was going to preach to this one.
Amen.
Okay? So I believe that this is what the Lord will have me do. Here we have in Luke chapter 22, verse number 14, Jesus Christ getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary. Before he's going to the cross of Calvary, he's got his disciples setting down, his most holy men in his church. Amen. And he's sitting down and he's having the Lord's table with them for the very last time before he is going to be hung upon the cross. God, getting ready to go to the cross, I'm sure that he had 10,000 things upon his mind. He knew that he was going to be beaten and whipped. He knew everything that was going to happen to him.
Amen.
He knew it all. But now, in love, he's sitting down with his disciples in love. And he's wanting to minister to them one more time before he gets nailed to the tree. And I want you to watch what happens here. Look at verse number 14. It says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." So you see, Jesus knew he was going to the cross. "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, This, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should betray this or should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest." Now slow up here. God's here to minister to them one last time before he goes to the kingdom, before he goes to the cross.
Amen.
One of them is a thief and a crook and is going to betray God. His disciples now are not paying any attention to what Jesus just said about Jesus being betrayed, and they're worried about who's going to be the best. There's no spirituality being taken place here at this Lord's Supper whatsoever between the man and God and Jesus. It is an ugly thing that's taking place within this last church service, if you will. Look at verse number 25. "And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye..." Now verse number 26 through number 28, that is a good message right there for every pastor, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every worker in the church. Pride is an ugly sin.
Right. Amen.
And many people have pride in their lives and they don't even know it's there.
That's right.
Amen.
Preacher, brother. Amen.
It's there, clear as day. I've been there.
Amen.
You know, it's when you're a chief and you're in charge of everything, you snap your fingers and your troops run. There's a lot of pride there. I want a drink of water. The boy's going to get it. Amen. You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
When you're in charge, oh yeah.
Yep. Load that ship. Get it
you
out.
Tell them to do it, they do it. We got to be careful as a Christian within the house of God.
That's right.
You can't have that sort of pride in the house of God. Amen. Look at verse number 26. "But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that setteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that setteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and set on the thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel." I've read all of that just to get to the next two verses. Okay? Just to get to the next two verses. And this is where the message is. I want you to see what Jesus was going through when the next two verses are spoken from the mouth of our Lord and our Savior. Look at verse number 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And notice what Jesus says, continued on. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Did you see those words? When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Wait a minute now. Doesn't conversion take place when you get saved?
Amen.
You can't lose your salvation, can you?
No.
So what's God talking about here? Let's look into it a little bit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, let me be a blessing to every person within the room drawing. Let the Holy Spirit be used, Lord, to draw every person's heart closer to our Lord and our Savior.
Amen.
In your name I pray, amen.
Amen.
The Bible is a book about God. Amen?
Amen.
And throughout the Bible, we see how God works within the lives of men and women. Within your heart right now, this is the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. You and I can't be placed in this book because we were not alive when this book was written. Am I right?
Amen.
But just as God worked in the lives of men and women in this book, He is working in your life right now.
Amen.
At this very moment. It's not easy to live for God. If anybody says, Brother Price, the Christian life is a piece of cake, I'm going to look at them straight in the eyes and say, then you're not a true Christian. Because living the Christian life is not a piece of cake.
That's right.
That's why you and I must determine to be strong in the Lord. Look at verse number 32 again. Notice what Jesus tells Peter. He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter was just as saved as you and I are saved. You cannot lose your salvation. So what is Jesus Christ talking about here? Let's just get a little bit of history about Peter. Peter, after he got saved, he went and he led his brother Andrew to the Lord. Then he went and led James and John to the Lord. Amen. He confessed Jesus Christ boldly at Caesarea Philippi. He was with Jesus when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He heard the conversation between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He saw Jesus raise a little girl from the dead. Peter boasted that I would never, ever, 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 never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever, ever deny Christ. But he did.
That's right. Amen.
There's Christians in the room tonight, and my hand is up, and my fingers are pointing at me, and my toes are pointing at me, and they're not pointing at you. There's Christians in this room tonight who have said the same thing and have denied Christ.
Yeah.
You say, not me, preacher, and I'm going to say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah.
We've all done it. The Bible even says that Peter denied Jesus three times and he cursed God. It teaches us that. Amen?
Amen?
Am I right? Help me out tonight. God allowed all of this to take place in Peter's life so that he could become a mature man of God.
Amen.
Everything that has happened within my life and everything that has happened in your life, God's word is still God's word.
Amen.
And He is still working in my life, and He's still working in your life, taking your circumstances, all of the ugly things that have happened and the good things, and molding them together to make you a mature man or woman in God.
Amen.
No event in history has ever affected the world like the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. They stood there and they watched the Lord helplessly, and they couldn't help Him. They couldn't charge that cross and fight Him as they were nailing Him to the tree. Their lives would have been taken. When a troop's down and the sniper's nailed Him in the leg and they're using Him as bait, you can't rush out there and grab the guy and pull him back because the sniper's going to take you out.
Yeah.
You've got to watch the suffer, and if he dies, he dies. There's not a thing you can do about it. Now the apostles are watching Jesus Christ being beaten and hung upon that tree, and there's not a thing in the world that they can do about it. And they're watching it. And they were there when Jesus arose from the grave.
Amen.
You see, the cross of Calvary was God's plan to pay for my sins and your sins.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But Satan had a different plan with the cross of Calvary. Satan had in his mind, once I kill Jesus, I can do away with Christianity altogether. In your trial that you're going through, God is trying to make you a more mature man of God or man or woman of God for the Lord.
Amen.
That's what God's plan is for you, what you're going through right now. Satan's plan, on the other hand, is to destroy your Christianity. Am I right?
Amen.
God allows His children. Let me say it again. God allows His children to pass through the darkest of times so that we can grow spiritually.
Amen. That's good.
Once we are converted, once we get out of that spiritual valley, once we take our eyes off of our problem and focus once again upon the Lord, verse number 32, God looks at Peter and He says, Peter, when thou art converted, what does it say next?
Strengthen
thy brethren. Woo. Wow. Think about it. All of the ugly that you have been through in your life and those trials that are there, when you step out of them like Peter, God has given you a specific biblical mission from the throne of God itself. God says, you have been through this. You come out of this. Now it's time for you to wrap your loving arms around a brother and sister in Christ and strengthen them in the love of God.
Amen.
That's deep. That's powerful. You see, I can't save myself when I'm down in that valley. I can't get to heaven on my own merits. I can't do it. There is absolutely nothing that I can do. None of the work that I try to do is good enough to get me to heaven. I need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And even after I'm saved, those memories are still there. Okay? They're still there, and they do come back to haunt.
Yeah.
And when they do come back to haunt, Al Price cannot pull himself out of that pit. I need Jesus.
Amen.
To help me through the day.
That's good, preacher.
Amen?
Amen?
And then when we come into the house of God and we look around, there are brothers and sisters in Christ in this very room who have been through things maybe more ugly than you have.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
And God says, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Can I challenge you tonight that when you walk into the house of God and you see your brothers and sisters in here, don't just take them for granted. Wrap your arms around each other and love each other in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You will never know what a friendly handshake and a smile will do to someone. You will never know what it means to sit down by someone, just sitting down by them and talking to them, because you don't know the burdens that they have upon their shoulders. You see, when the struggles begin, the struggles cannot be accomplished in your strength or my strength. They have to be accomplished in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desire to sift you as wheat. Satan wants nothing more to take every individual in this church and to sift them as wheat, make them a shipwrecked Christian where they can never be used by God again. You know, we become a target of Satan the very moment that we decide to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can get saved and come to church and just come to church and just come to church, and more than likely Satan's never going to bother you. But the moment that you step up and try to follow Jesus Christ, let me tell you, the bells ring.
Yeah.
And He comes after you. He wants to weaken you. He wants to sift you. What Satan wants to do with you, you, and me, is to make us unusable for God. Can I tell you tonight that as long as you have breath in your lungs, that you are usable for God?
Amen.
Can I tell you tonight that as long as you are breathing God's air, God is not done with you yet? Can I tell you that God wants to use what you have gone through to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ? Listen, PTSD is real. It's no game.
Amen. That's right.
It's no game at all.
That's right.
I mean, that quick, my mind will take me to Afghanistan or the streets of Iraq, yeah, that quick. Sometimes Tricia will say, "Alan, you okay? Alan, you okay? Alan, are you okay?" And she'll get in front of me and I don't see her. I see where I've been. I see the ugly. Okay, I see it. There might be people in this room who have gone through difficulties in their childhood or in their life who have the same thing. Maybe not military related, but they see what has taken place and it's there. Okay, this morning I gave you the 6 steps of how to come out of spiritual depression into spiritual joy. But tonight, I want to share with you 3 golden nuggets that I've found while I've been in the valley. Can I do that? 3 golden nuggets that I have found while I have been in the valley. And I'm going to tell you, the valleys are not over, because you're going to go through it today and you're going to repent and you're going to get back on the street, and all of a sudden Satan's going to take your knees out from under you again. You'll be back down in the valley and you have to repeat this process over and over again. But I'm going to tell you, God is faithful.
Amen.
He's faithful. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'll show you that first nugget that I have, okay? Second Peter chapter 1, and look at verse number 21. I want y'all to know tonight that I love you. I don't just throw that word out there, I truly mean it. Second Peter chapter number 1, look at verse number 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When you're in that valley, are you strong or are you weak?
You're weak,
aren't you? Amen. I have found my first golden nugget, this. The Bible makes me stronger.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible makes me stronger when I'm weak. You see, God gave us His Word. Amen. This Bible that I hold in my hand, it didn't come from man, it came from God. Peter wrote and he said that he was moved along by the Holy Spirit. The prophecy came not in old time of the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved. The Holy Ghost penned these words. And the Holy Ghost, through the power of Jesus Christ, looked down at Peter. And I'm going to pretend like you are Peter, okay?
Amen.
Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Those words came from God Himself through the Holy Ghost to Jesus to speak unto Peter. Now tonight, within this body of believers right here and those who are hurting, let me do the same thing.
Amen.
I'm not God. But let me use God's Word.
Amen.
My brother or sister, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, I'm saved. Yeah, I know you are. But Peter was saved too, and he stumbled and he fell. He was in that valley. In fact, he gave up. When God found him, was he not naked on a boat fishing?
Yeah.
And Peter had, or God had to stand on the shore and call him out, Peter, come on. I'm glad that God, brother, never stops calling. Al Price,
yeah.
Al Price,
amen.
I know you're out there and I know you're hurting. Come on, brother.
Amen.
Come on, don't give up.
That's good. Amen.
Come on, my arms are open. I want to hug your neck. I'm God. I'm the one who loves you. I'm the one who saved your soul. Come on.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
In this room, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The first golden nugget, my friends, is God's Word makes us strong, because God gave us His Word.
That's right.
God's Word is strong because it's filled with the promises of God. Amen. Oh, my goodness. I said this morning, and I'm going to say it again, and I mean it from the depths of my soul all the way down to the tips of my toes. I'll use this story. In 1975 through 1979, my mom and dad went to Bible college at Tennessee Temple University in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I told my mom and dad my brother wanted to go to the Christian school. I had it in my heart that I wanted to run cross country and track, and I really had this goal that I wanted to run in the Olympics, and I wanted to get a gold medal for our country. At the time that I told my mom and dad that, I was the third fastest miler in the United States at that time. I had talent. I had ability to do so. My mom and dad, out of the goodness of their heart, let me go to a public school. When I went to the public school and when I went to the church, those who went to the Christian school looked at the public school guy and said, that's a heathen right there. That's a sinner. He's going to a public school. Now, the church that I went to at the time had 3,000 to 5,000 people in it, this huge balcony, and all the teenagers sat under the left side in a section about this big right here with all the teenagers from that Christian school. And after about 6 months of going to that church, and I really wanted to get involved, I didn't have anything ill within my heart, but I was not saved. I went down, and I sat down right in the, didn't say anything to anybody, and I sat down right in the middle of them, sat right there, right in the middle of them. And one by one, they got up and they walked away. One by one, they got up and they walked away. Had one of those teenagers would have said, hey, how you doing? Would you not like to come out to Dairy Queen with us tonight after the church? Would you not like to sit here with us during the song service? Or somebody opened up a song book and handed it to me? You know, I may have gotten saved early in life.
Amen.
I may have known what Christian life was about. I'm saying that to say this tonight. When somebody comes into the house of God that you don't know, wrap your arms around them in friendliness and love of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? People need to be loved to Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. People need to be loved to Jesus Christ. If you love people, they're going to come back. They will come back. Nugget number one, the Scripture makes me strong. Why does it make me strong? Because God gave us His Word.
Amen.
Why does it make me strong? Because God fulfills His promises within His Word. I can count on it. The second lesson that I have learned when I'm down in that valley. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Now this is going to be a hard one to understand, but bear with me, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse number 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
Amen. Is that not what the Bible says?
Amen.
It's very easy to see right there that the devil don't want me anywhere near you or God whatsoever. Am I right? Okay, now, number one, the first nugget, the Bible makes me strong. God gave me His Word. God keeps His promises. Number two, you ready for this one? It's going to blow you a little bit, okay? It's going to mess with your mind, all right? It's going to be like an M60 machine gun going off, and you're going to go, well, what is he talking about, okay? Number two, the second golden nugget, the sifting that Satan does makes me strong. The sifting that Satan does makes me strong. You say, preacher, how in the world does the sifting that Satan does in your life, how does that make you strong? I'm so glad you asked. First of all, this is good news. What I have learned is this, that Satan's power is limited.
That's right.
Amen. Satan's power is limited.
Right.
Satan can only do what God allows him to do and absolutely nothing more. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
Wow.
Satan can only do what God allows him to do and nothing more.
Absolutely.
With that being said, the valley that you have found yourself in, God ordained it. God said, Satan, there they are. Have at it. And God stands back and He watches. Satan sift you and sift me. You say, now, wait a minute, God's a loving God. Why would he allow Satan to sift me and allow me to go through that? Why did God leave me on that mountain for me to fight for my life and wonder if I'm going to get home? God allows you and I, he allows Satan to sift us so we can mature in God's grace.
Amen.
He allows Satan to sift you so that you can mature in God's grace. You see, when Satan attacks, a wise Christian will draw nigh unto God.
Amen.
When Satan attacks, a wise Christian will seek God over all things, even the trials.
That's right.
You know, I've been in battle. I've heard the grenades blow. I've had the ground shake under my feet. I've had the bullets fly by my head. When a bullet flies by your head, when it gets about right here, it pops. Pop. You know it. You hear it. I've seen it. And I've seen some very big men that could take your head and pop it like a pimple, fall to their knees in fear, and cry out to God. I've seen it. You see, when you're at the rock bottom, a wise person, even the lost, cry out to God.
Amen.
Amen. We can't make it without him. Satan's power is limited. Satan cannot do anything to you unless God approves it. So when you're going through that trial and you're in that valley and you're in that difficulty, understand God is the one who put you there. He ordained it. He's allowing Satan to do what he's doing, so that you can grow in Christ and become a more mature Christian in God, so that you can learn how to strengthen your brethren.
Amen.
Amen. Satan's power is limited, but God's power is unlimited. I love it. There is nothing that God can't do.
Amen.
I'm a Christian, and God wants me to live a Christian life, and I'm truly trying to do that today. But I must never forget that as I'm trying to live that Christian life, that Satan's going to do everything he can to keep me from living that Christian life.
Amen.
So when you're in the middle of that trial, and God says, okay, Satan, you can have that trial, and God's sitting up on a throne, and he's watching Satan have his way with you. And you're crying out and you're praying, oh God, I can't make it. I can't make it. Lord, I need you. And Satan still is buffeting your body and trying to destroy you and take you to the shipwrecked place. God is allowing it to take place. When it's taken place, it's time for us to seek him, because he's wanting to make us a more mature Christian in Christ. How in the world would I ever know how to help someone with PTSD if I didn't have it myself?
That's right.
Amen.
That makes sense. Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How in the world would I know how to help somebody who's taken another man's life if I hadn't done it myself?
Yeah. Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
The difficulties that are going through. Now, you can switch that the other side of the coin and say, how in the world can a young man know how to get through a life with a dad who's been smacking him around and hollering at him all of his life if you hadn't went through it yourself?
That's good.
You see, God allowed you to go through that valley so you can help another Christian be strengthened in the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It's not an ugly thing. It was ugly when it was happening, but when it's over with, it's a good thing, because God used it to use you. And to mold you and to shape you. God's power is unlimited. I'm not smart enough to memorize my notes here, but I'm going to read to you something if it's okay.
Amen.
When wheat is shifted, chaff is taken away from the grain. The part that cannot be used is separated from the part that can be used. The part that cannot be used is being separated from the part that can be used.
Amen.
When God allows Satan to have you, what is taking place is Satan is being used by God to separate the good and the bad. Satan wants to take the chaff and put you in the chaff, where God wants to take you and put you in the good.
Oh, that's good. Amen.
And it's your choice to where you're going to go. Am I going to walk in the chaff and stay with Satan, or am I going to say, no, I'm going to trust God and I'm going with the good?
Amen.
Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
I mean, it's powerful stuff. Let me finish reading this. When God works in our lives, When God works in our lives, He wants to remove the unusable so that He could use the usable.
Amen.
When Satan works in our lives, He wants to remove the usable and leave behind the usable. When God works in our lives, He does it to strengthen us. When Satan works in our lives, He does it to weaken us. When God works in our lives, He works to make us a better Christian. When Satan works in our lives, He wants to produce a more wicked behavior. The Lord Jesus Christ used Satan to reveal to Peter two things. And when God allows Satan to have you, to sift you, He's allowing Satan to do these same two things to you. Satan thinks he's winning, but listen to this. When you're in that valley and you're being sifted, and those memories come and those pressures are there and the troubles and the trials are all up on your shoulders, the first thing you're going to realize is this. Man, I'm weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't fight Satan. I'm vulnerable. I can't see where the punches and the shells are coming. I'm so weak that he's going to devour me. The second thing that's going to be revealed to you is this. I need God's strength. You're going to say, oh my goodness, how weak I am because he's having his way with me. Where is God? I need God's strength. Amen?
Amen.
In your trial, God will use Satan to reveal how weak you are, and he will reveal to you how much you need God's strength.
That's good.
And you say, preacher, I know how much strength I need in the Lord. That's not a very wise thing to say.
Absolutely.
I'm learning very quickly. I'm almost 60 years old. And I'm learning very quickly that I have no spiritual strength at all within myself. Nada. Zero. I'm learning very, very quickly that although I step out and try to serve Jesus Christ with all I am, that quick my temper can get away.
Yep.
That quick something will come out of my mouth. That quick I find myself in a valley with Satan tearing me up all over again. Pride cometh before fall.
Amen.
The Bible also says that pride is as the sin of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Prideful Christians usually spend a whole lot of time in the valleys. Because they need a whole lot of sifting taking place. Amen. I want everybody to understand this tonight as well. God ordains your trial. Whatever PTSD you have in your life, and it might not be PTSD, it could be income, it could be anything under the sun. I'm just using PTSD, okay? Because people are hurting. Whatever the PTSD trial is within your life, stay with me now. God ordained it.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Makes sense. Amen. Amen.
Just as Peter denied Christ, just as Peter cursed Christ, just as Peter took off all of his clothes and ran and left the ministry and went back a fishing, God looked at Peter and said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Amen.
Can I request tonight that you look at your difficulty in a totally 100% different way? A different perspective.
Amen.
When you were there, God got rid of the chaff and he kept the good.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, the chaff is in one hand and the good is in the other. And it's up to you to choose the good or to choose the chaff.
Amen.
If you choose the chaff, Satan's won the battle. And I'm going to tell you now, I hate Satan. I can't wait to when God grabs him by his nappy neck and throws him into the hell for all of eternity.
Amen.
I can't wait for that day to come. But I want tonight to choose the good.
Amen.
And I want to look at the good. God said, you went through that difficult trial so that I could use you to strengthen your brethren. The third golden nugget that I found. Can we look at that tonight and then we'll be done? Look at Luke chapter 22 and verse number 32. Let me get back to Luke. Are we enjoying the sermon tonight?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Look at Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I almost went to Matthew. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse number 32. This is precious. Are y'all ready for something very precious?
Amen.
But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The third golden nugget that I have found when I'm in trouble in that spiritual valley is this. Is Jesus is praying for me.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, I'm praying for you, boy. I don't want you to fail. Oh, mercy.
Come on, buddy. We're with you.
Oh, goodness, Lord, I need your help. I got to be careful. I have no idea what you went through in your life. What abuses, what ugly is there. But I can tell you I've been in the ugly. And God ordained that ugly. And as I'm all by myself fighting for my life, not only was I fighting an Afghani, I was fighting Satan too, because Satan knew that God was going to call me to preach.
Oh, that's good. That's good, brother. Amen.
Satan wanted my life taken. He said, we're going to end that boy right now. And God, up on his throne, sees me all by myself in the mountains with an Afghani grabbing me by the back, going to take my life. He sees Satan sifting me because I've eaten bugs and worms for survival. I've not had anything good to eat for days. No pure water to drink. And I'm at my wit's end at the rock bottom. And now this guy's grabbed me from the back. And Satan says, I'm going to sift him and I'm going to take him out of this world. Watch now. I don't know what you've been through. But this is what my God did as I'm going through that difficulty. Oh, Al, I'm there with you. Al Price, you got to trust me. Al Price, I'm letting you go through this so that you can realize how weak you are and how strong I am.
Amen.
Al Price, I'm letting you go through this because I want you to strengthen your brethren.
Amen.
Al Price, you're going to come out of this if you just keep your faith in me.
Amen.
What you went through and what you might be going through, Jesus is on the throne right now praying for you.
Amen.
Amen. God does not want you or me to fail in any way, shape, or form. Brother, he wants to use us to bring others into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
He wants to use us to take that hurting Christian who's ready to quit and give up and wrap our arms around him and say, hey, God loves you.
Come on. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ tonight, listen to these words. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.